Amen. Wednesdays, we have from 10 to 11, we have a prayer meeting here every Wednesday. I encourage you to come. And on Wednesday evenings from 7 o'clock to usually 9 o'clock or a little thereafter, we try to be done by 9 o'clock. We do celebrate recovery here for those who you know, would like to deal with some of your hurts and your habits and your hang-ups in your lives. We encourage you to come to that as well. We we've been blessed in so many ways. Just God, the things that God is doing through, you know, you all and through this church and through the programs that we've been doing, it's just amazing. Some of the testimonies, I could share a few, but for time's sake, I'll just, you know, share one. There's been a couple of people that I am so blessed and encouraged. I met another young man at the jail the other night who came to celebrate recovery when I was gone. I've missed one. I have missed one last March when I was out in, my wife and I took a trip to Myrtle Beach. If you've never been to Myrtle Beach, I encourage you. It's an awesome place to go. But there was a guy at the jail. He said, oh, yeah, I came to that program because I'm always inviting the people at the jail when I go and minister. I'm like, well, I would have remembered you. There's no way I would have forgot you. Because this young man, I met him in the jail a few years ago, and he was nothing. He didn't want nothing to do with the church program or the Bible study that night or many, many nights that I had seen him there. He was just goofing around all the time. He was only coming to church like many do just to get out of their cell for a little while. But the other night when I saw him, he was a totally different person. And he wants me to get him a Celebrate Recovery Bible. I don't know if that's going to be able to happen or not, but he came to the program, and you could see the maturity in him, how he's going from that boy to a man, and he's realizing his need for God. And so I'm just so encouraged that, you know what, I wasn't here that night, but those, matter of fact, he asked me, oh, what's that young lady's name who was playing the guitar? I said, I'm not giving up my girl's name. Are you kidding me? The inmate, right? Yeah, no, I'm not telling you her name. Yeah, that's right. And so, but you guys, even though I wasn't here, hallelujah, you guys had an impact on that young man. And it's awesome what God is doing. And so, you know, that's just one thing that God is doing. But the other night, I went to the Seneca County Jail last Friday. And Friday night, I was driving home. Now, for quite some time now, I've been praying, God, what's it take to get people excited about church? To get people to even just show up for meetings, you know, or whatever we have going on, to get involved in those kinds of things. And I've been praying, you know, and basically, God, what do we have to do to grow the church? What do we have to do to grow spiritually? And these are things that have been on my mind. Well, the other night when I was driving home from the jail, and I was just filled with joy. I mean, I was just, my soul was flying, and I was just, you know, really excited about the meetings that I had just had in the jail. And, you know, I tell the inmates often that, you know, when I go out there, it's like one of my favorite things to do in ministry, because, you know, you have opportunity to share with people at their lowest level in life, in their hardest times. And it's always good. The Spirit of God always shows up, and it's just, you know, even when I remember this young man I spoke of a few minutes ago, the first time that he was in one of my meetings, and he was just all goofing around, and it was in big distraction and all this stuff. And I called him out. I said, you seem to need some attention tonight. And he's like, oh, you know, now I got the attention I don't want, you know. And so I started asking him about what's going on in his life, and I started digging in, you know. And so anyway, you have an opportunity to really focus on people and get into their hearts and find out what's going on in their lives and share God's word with them and just love them. You know, a lot of people there don't feel that anybody loves them. And, you know, we just show up and just give them the love of God. And it's a blessing. And so I'm coming home, and I'm just all excited, and I'm full of joy. I feel like my spirit is just filled. And it occurred to me. The Holy Spirit started speaking to me. What it takes to grow. What it takes to grow spiritually. What it takes to grow physically as a church. And so I started listening. I started, you know, getting more excited. And I'm going to share with you what the Spirit has shown me. You can see the title this morning, Let's Get Growing. Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you're doing in my life. I thank you for what you're doing in the lives of every single soul that walked in this door. Doesn't matter what path we have taken, where we have come from or where we have gone, whether we have wandered or whether we have stayed. You brought us here to this place today because you want to speak to our hearts and you want to change our lives. And so, God, I pray that today, if we haven't been growing in a while personally or collectively, then, God, I pray that today would be the day that water would be poured on the seeds of our life that you have planted and that we would grow. So bless this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's get growing. The verse that the Lord put on my heart immediately the other night is, as I'm on my way home from the jail, was John chapter 4, verse 32. He said to them, I have food or meat to eat of which you do not know. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with the story, Jesus had gone with the disciples. They're on their way to Jerusalem, that they had to go through Samaria to get there. And they stopped by this well, and Jesus sends the disciples into the town to get food. And Jesus stays back, and he stays at this well, and this woman comes out in the famous story in the Bible where Jesus, you know, speaks to the woman at the well and all of that. Well, the disciples come back. You know, that's another whole message in itself. The disciples come back, and they offer Jesus some food, and he says, I have food to eat that you don't even know about. I have meat that you don't even know about. Now, that word meat is very significant. Many of your translations don't use the word meat. Some of them say, I have food or I have something else. But whatever the case may be, the word that is used, that was used, that was translated into meat or food, is a word that means this. Here's the definition of the word that was used. Act of eating, in a wider sense, corrosion, that which is eaten, food, ailment. But the thing I want to focus on for the definition of the word that Jesus used when he was telling the disciples, I've got a resource that you don't even know about, is the very end of the definition where it says, of the soul's food, either which refreshes the soul or nourishes and supports it. You see, Jesus had just spent a moment ministering to this Samaritan woman and leading her along the path of life and sharing his love with her and ministering to her. And I believe that Jesus was experiencing at that moment a fulfillment in his soul. His soul was nourished through that ministry. And I believe that that's what I was experiencing Friday night when I was on my way home. I was filled. I had meat from God. He had nourished my soul and refreshed my soul. And this verse came to mind immediately as I'm driving along. I have meat to eat that you don't even know about. And it's like, wow, okay, I get it. And I've noticed, many of you, I'm not saying anything strange for many of you, because many of you have gone out and you have ministered. You have done something for somebody. You've shared Christ with somebody. You just love somebody somehow. You've served somebody somehow. And every time, isn't it true that when we leave those moments where we've blessed somebody else with the love of God, when we leave those moments, isn't that when we feel the best? You know what I'm talking about. When you have that real encounter, not just a superficial, oh, hi, bye thing. No, when you have a real encounter with somebody where you speak life into them and you just pour love into them, when you have those encounters and when you walk away from that, it's like, wow, I feel so blessed to have been used by God. And it's just a wonderful feeling, and it's like God just fills your soul. And that's what I want to talk about for a moment. Because, see, it's very important that we all get this food, that we get this meat that Jesus was talking about. But there's only one way to get it. And that's by doing what God has called us to do. Look at what Paul said in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. He said, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." You know, Paul was rebuking the church because they should have been out there teaching by now. And the implication is, if they were out teaching by now, they would be eating solid food, but because they weren't out teaching, they needed to be taught again and needed milk again. If you want to eat the solid food, take the things that you know and use them for God's glory. Well, what if you don't know much? Well, if you're sitting here this morning and you know Jesus died for you, and you know that by putting your faith in Him that you're saved, you've repented of your sin, then share that with somebody. And if you don't even know that, if all that you know is, you know what, I'm supposed to bless people, I'm supposed to be a good neighbor, I'm supposed to love my neighbor, if that's all that you know, then you do that. You go and love your neighbor. Matter of fact, I've got something I have to do for my neighbor. My neighbor's in Florida. And I drove by the other day and I noticed his trash can's in the ditch. I need to go drag his trash can out of the ditch for him before we get any snow and it gets buried in there. I mean, they won't even know it, but it won't matter because I'm loving my neighbor. It's so simple. And you know what? As I'm doing that, I'll guarantee you, because I've had the feeling before, I've gone over there, they've been gone all summer. I've been keeping the end of their driveway clean and their mailbox accessible because I know the mail's coming and somebody's picking it up. They don't even know. They don't have to know. But when I give them love, even though they don't even know it, I get filled. My soul gets nourished. Why? Because I know I'm doing something God wants me to do. And so listen to your heart. When God points something out to you, hey, there's a need that needs to be filled, and you can fill it. Do that. Do what you know. Somebody's got a question. Hey, I know the answer to that question. Answer the question. When somebody's seeking God and you have information that is helpful, you pray with somebody. Maybe you don't know the answer. Maybe somebody's got a question. You say, I don't know the answer, but let's pray about that. When you do the things, you be the teacher that God wants you to be, and you start receiving solid food. It's very interesting how that works. You see, when we share with others what the Holy Spirit has given us, we grow in a spiritual way. And the church grows in a physical way as the lost get saved because we are loving our neighbor and we're spreading the gospel. You see how that works? You want to grow spiritually? I'll guarantee you, you will grow spiritually, more spiritual, more faster by doing the work. Did I not? Was that a good one? Oh, I got a lot of cringes on that one. More spiritual, more faster. You're all listening, hallelujah. I've had people come to, I'll share that in a moment. We do all kinds of different things to grow spiritually. And if I was to say to this crowd, this all of you are here today, if I was to ask the question, okay, what must I do to grow spiritually? I'll guarantee you that we'll have all kinds of different, we'll have several different answers, most of which will be true and right and part of the process. But let me encourage you. If you really want to grow in God, become a doer and not a hearer only. I'll share that verse with you in a few moments, but let me just show you something. And think about this. One of the things that we say, oh wait, I want to share a quick principle with you. Matthew 25. Oh, I didn't put it in there. Matthew 25. Go to Matthew chapter 25. I probably put it in later. We'll come across it maybe. Matthew chapter 25, though, we have the story or the parable of the talents. You remember that? The master takes off and he gives talents. Am I in the right book? Yeah. I was saying the right book, but I wasn't in the right book up here. I had to turn a page. Sorry. The kingdom of heaven is like a man, verse 14, traveling to a far country. He called his servants and delivered his goods to them. Now that, you know, I love that because who are the servants? In the kingdom of God, who are the servants? We are. It says that the master went away and he delivered what to his servants? His goods. We have God's goods. You imagine that? Think about that for a moment. God has given us his goods in order that we can carry out his business on the earth. That's incredible. To me, I find that just totally amazing because he knows who we are, he knows what we're like, and yet he still puts his trust in us. He says, here's my stuff. Use it to build my kingdom on the earth. In verse 15, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground, hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled the accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. Now listen, before I read the next verse, because the next verse lays down this principle that I'm sharing with you. He gives us his goods. He invests in us. He gives us everything that we need in order to advance his kingdom. And he has the expectation that we're going to use it and that we're going to grow his kingdom. You see, here's one of his servants he had given 5 talents to, and the guy takes the 5 talents and he invests them, or he uses them in such a way that he gains 5 more. How many would like to have that type of an economy in your own personal life, right? And we all get our paychecks and we spend them all over the place and then it's gone. It's like, oh, now what? But isn't it wonderful when you can spend, you know, your paycheck on something that's like an investment, and next thing you know, you get more back from it? Anybody into investing? It's a good thing. But in verse 21, here's what God says. Or here's what the Lord says. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Now catch this idea. You were faithful in little things. I'll make you ruler over many things. If you are faithful to the little ministries that God gives you, whether it be just a kind word to somebody, a kind act to somebody, you've taken on maybe a position of leadership or ministry somehow. When you're faithful in the little things that God gives you, what happens? You grow. You get more. You see, there's this principle in the kingdom of God. You give a little, he gives you a lot. And it's the same thing. You know, talking about this principle, when you share with somebody else, when you pour God's love into somebody else's life, you get filled. You get more. You want to know how to get to the place where you can answer all the questions that are given to you, you know, more so than you do now, and where you can have more understanding of God's word? Start sharing with somebody. Start ministering to the lost. Because what happens is people start asking you questions. Anybody afraid to minister? Anybody afraid to witness, to tell somebody about Jesus? Because I don't know what the questions are they're going to ask me. That, believe it or not, there are people that like that. You know, people are afraid. Well, if I say something about Jesus, then they're going to come back with a question and I'm not going to know what to say. Well, guess what? You will grow as you find the answer to that question. And so as you go out ministering, you don't have to know it all right away. But I have found more times than not, when somebody comes along and they ask me a question and I'm not sure of that, in that moment the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart. It's like, hey, you know what? What about this? The other night I had a gentleman shared this story with me. He tells me about something. He goes, Pastor, this is something that bothered me for 15 years. And I said, really? Okay, what is it? And he tells me the story about how he had died He had a heart condition, or whatever the case. I don't even remember how he died, but he had died. And he had this vision. He had an out-of-body experience. He saw that there was this wooden staircase with wooden rails, and it led to a crooked wooden door. And he came back to life, and that's all he remembers. He was walking on this staircase, wooden, it's all wood, leading to this door. And he said, not long after that, I had gone home. I went to my mother's house, and she was watching one of those shows. You know, every now and again, I don't know if you have cable, there's these shows where people talk about their afterlife experiences and whatnot. And he's watching his mother's watching this show, and he's sitting at the kitchen table drawing this picture that he saw. And as he's drawing the picture, somebody comes on the TV and describes the exact thing he's drawn. Same exact vision. He said, now, all of that is interesting. He said, but the thing that bothers me that I can't figure out, and it's troubled me for 15 years, he says, is I was laying down on this cot when I died. So and I don't know whether I was going up or whether I was going down those steps. All I know is there were steps and I was traveling on them, but I can't tell whether I was going up or I was going down. How do you answer a question like that? In that moment, the Spirit said to me, God's Spirit just spoke. And I said to the guy, I said, you know what I'm really encouraged about that story? He says, no, what? I said, not that you don't know if you were going up or whether you're going down, but the fact that you're concerned and bothered by it tells me that you really care about where you end up when you die. He's like, I never thought of it like that. I'm like, you know what? You get to choose whether or not you're going up those stairs or going down those stairs. You have an opportunity because you're still here. God brought you back to your body so that you could have an opportunity to make that choice for yourself, whether you're going to receive him as your Lord and Savior or not. And I'll guarantee you, if you will choose to follow Jesus, if you will give him your heart, let him come into your life, he will change your life, and you'll walk up them stairs when it's all said and done. But if you choose not to, then you're going down. It was just an awesome moment to just speak into this guy's life. I wonder, how do you answer a question? You don't know where anybody's going to go. But you know what? The more you get involved, the more God gives you, and the more you have the ability to speak into people's lives. Let me continue on. When we say, I want to grow spiritually, a lot of times, what are we talking about? Many would have said, no, I'm way past that. There's Matthew 25:21. I knew I had it. But when we talk about growing spiritually, one of the answers that I'm sure I would have gotten from you is, well, if I want to grow more spiritually, then I need to read my Bible. I need to get in my Bible, and I need to read, and then I'm going to grow more spiritually. Well, the truth of it is reading your Bible can be part of spiritual growth. But if you think about it, reading your Bible causes you to grow in knowledge of the Lord. How many know people that know the Bible from one end to the other, and they're still not following Jesus? Right? They're not spiritual at all. They can quote scripture left and right. They know what it says. Why? Because they read it. Well, when you read your Bible, you read it for knowledge. You get an understanding. You get information. Another answer to the, what should I do to grow spiritually? Another answer would be pray. Well, yeah, that's a good thing. Praying is a part of spiritual growth. It's an important thing to do. But think about, what is prayer? The intent of prayer is for you to build your relationship with Jesus Christ. Prayer is the same thing as having a conversation with God, communicating with him, getting to know him. Just like I'm talking to you right now. We're communicating. And hopefully, we're learning from each other. And so prayer, reading is to grow in knowledge. Praying is to grow in our relationship with God. Yes, both are very important parts of our spiritual growth, and we need to do those things. But I'll tell you what, it's when we share our faith and when we share our testimonies and our experiences with God, and we allow the Spirit of God to flow through us to touch a lost soul with his love, that's when we get the most fulfillment. And that's when we grow the most spiritually. You understand that? You want to grow spiritually? Get out there and do spiritual things. You don't grow in anything unless you get involved in it, right? How many of us here today could start tomorrow and build a house? We could just go buy the stuff we need, all the tools we need, and build a house. There's a few. There's a few that could. Judy says, can't guarantee what it looked like. But you know what? If you build one, you're gonna grow in every aspect of knowing how to build a house. And by the time you built 10, guess what? You've grown. You know exactly what to do, what not to do. You've made all the mistakes prior to. You know all the little hidden things that you need to know. You know, like before you put the drywall on, you got to figure out where you want to put the electrical stuff and all that things. All kinds of stuff. You grow when you do. Okay, how many of you, when you went to a job, it was your first time you went to that job, you've never done it before, you don't know what it's about, you get there, and it's like, okay, what do I do? Well, you learn. The first day's a little tough, because you're learning. The second day is maybe a little better. Maybe by the end of the week, you got an idea what you're doing, and you're starting to produce. Because you've grown through your experience, right? You want to grow in a spiritual way so that you can be an influence in the earth with God's love. You need to do the word, not just hear the word. You need to share your faith with somebody. You need to, have those conversations with people about Jesus and share your testimonies with others. Your testimony is very relevant, very relevant. And you know, it doesn't matter the road that you've taken. God has brought you to a place where you understand his love for you, and you understand his forgiveness for you. He's done something for you that brought you. And I know I'm speaking to a whole group of people here today that I can say for sure that this is true, because you came here on a snowy day where it's like, are you guys crazy? You know, if we were one or two states to the south, there wouldn't be nothing moving today. But you came here. Why? Because God has done something in your life and he drew you to this place. Even though you had to drive through ice and snow and whiteout, we couldn't see 100 yards coming up here. Cruise in the back seat like, oh, Uncle Dale, this isn't a good idea. I'm like, not a problem. They were going to the right place. But it's when we exercise our faith by stepping out to do the work of apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers that we gain the most spiritual growth. Does that make sense? Look at Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8. As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. I almost said cleanse the lemmings. I don't know why. Cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. You see, he's instructing us to do something. He doesn't say, as you go, keep your mouth shut and your head down and don't ask any questions because you're not going to have the answer if they start talking back. No. He said, as you go, preach. Doesn't matter who it is. If God gives you an opportunity to tell your boss about Jesus, tell your boss about Jesus. God gives you an opportunity to talk to your parents about Jesus, talk to your parents about Jesus. I'll never forget some of the opportunities God's given me to, you know, I have this uncle, he's getting a little delirious, 87 years old. A year ago or so, I was giving him a ride, and I'm concerned. I've got a lot of aunts and uncles. My mom was one of 11 children. Many have passed, and the youngest one is, I think, like 75 or 76. And there's still like four or five of them, and most of them are in their 80s, and so I'm concerned, you know. And, you know, I'm learning that more of them, you know, had gone to churches and still attend churches, but that's a wonderful thing, and I'm blessed by that. But this one uncle, I'm like, where is he? Does he know Jesus, you know? And he's so funny. So I got him in the car. And it's just me and him, right? I've never talked to him about God before. He's been to funerals that I have performed, so I know that he's heard the gospel because I always share the gospel. But I want to know where he is. And I say, Uncle, do you know about salvation? He says, well, don't you? He put it back on me. Well, don't you? I'm like, well, yeah. I just wanted to know if you knew that Jesus died for your sins. Well, don't you? And that's all he would say. He was saying it as if, well, of course I know that. Don't you know that? Why are you asking me this question? But you know, isn't it like that? Sometimes we sit there like, well, how do I start this conversation? I want to talk about Jesus. I want to know where this person is in their walk with God. If they're even walk with God at all, how do I start that conversation? And it's a scary thing, but guess what? The more you do it, the easier it'll get, and it'll be fun. It's fun to talk about Jesus. It really is. And you can be, it's okay to be lighthearted. Now, I've worked, you know, many of you know, I've worked construction most of my life. I've been in pickup trucks full of guys that don't want anything to do with Jesus. And you know what? Start the conversation. It'll go somewhere. And most of them, a lot of times, they don't want to hear it then and there, and they'll mock you, maybe they'll this or that, but that's okay. It's all right. But take those opportunities you get. I know guys that used to, there'd be two or three pickups going in the same direction, and they all want to pack into one and stay away from me because we're going to talk about Jesus on the trip, you know? But you know, every single one of them guys, well, most of them, I wish I could say every single one, but the vast majority of them learned to respect the idea that I was concerned for their soul. And we've all become good friends, and it's a wonderful thing. But take those opportunities. As you go, preach. Paul mentioned it again to the Corinthians in chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. He says, I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with, you know, and he's talking to a church here. The Corinthian church. He's just not talking to anybody. He's talking to the church. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, or that meat that I'm talking about. For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Now, hopefully that's not us. Divisions and strife and all that stuff. If that's us, then God forgive us and help us, because we can't be like that. But he says, for when one says, I'm of Paul, another says, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is apostles? But ministers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one. Now here, Paul's laying down this understanding. You know what? Paul's saying, me and Apollos, all we are is ministers. The people from whom you believe. We've all come to believe in Jesus because of somebody, right? Somebody spoke to us. Somebody said something that pierced our hearts and let us know that God loves us. And so, you know, Paul's just making this point. We're just the ministers, and he's kind of implying that you guys should be ministers too, causing others to believe. We're the ones that cause you to believe, but you should be the ones that cause others to believe. And so he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God gave the increase. What increase? The growth. The spiritual growth in Paul and Apollos, in the physical growth of the church as it grew while they're out ministering. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. And Paul was, you know, when he said each one, I planted, Apollos watered, but we both received our reward. What is the reward? Spiritual growth. Closer to Jesus. Strengthening of faith. All those things that we as believers crave and long to have, to be able to stand in the midst of the storm. You know, I'm amazed as I grow in the Lord. I get to these places where it's like, you know what? I just got faith for stuff, and I got faith for people. And I just pray for people. When I see somebody that's just gone off the wagon and running the wrong direction, like, you know what, I'm just going to pray for them. I'm not going to get upset about it. I'm not going to have this, you know, this fall down, break down mess of my life because, oh, so-and-so, they're gone, they're lost. No, I'm going to trust God. When you get to that place where you have faith, where you can trust God for anything, guess what? You've experienced some growth. I love to be able to stand in faith, and I love for each individual that is here to be able to stand in faith no matter what, because no matter what comes to each and every one of us. Sometimes, you know, mostly we all have different experiences, but the bottom line is we need spiritual growth in order to stand. Well, how do you get it? Do what God's called you to do. Let me share couple more passages with you and we'll close. James chapter 1, I've already mentioned this, 22 through 25. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. How many know people who attend churches? And I'm not going to name any churches or any denominations, but we all know people who attend churches and they show up every Sunday and they leave and they're very, very faithful hearers. And not doers. Deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. You know why Paul told the Corinthians, you know what, I got to teach you the small stuff all over again. You know why he had to say that? Because they were hearers only. They had forgotten the type of people they were, and they needed to be taught the elementary things of the gospel all over again. And you know, we run into those kinds of people all the time. Don't be that person that needs to gain an understanding of the gospel again and again and again. Well, what's it? Okay, what's it mean? What's grace? What's faith? What's it mean? Jesus died for my sin. You know, what's it mean? Don't be that person. Get it, know it, and grow in it. So that you can teach it to somebody else. I'm always talking about know what you know. How many people? I'm always asking people, do you understand what salvation is? Oh, yeah, I understand it. Can you explain it to me? No. Well, if you can't explain it to me, then how do I know that you know it? Know what you know. You understand? Grow in what you know. Because you don't want to be the person who, well, you know, I've been hearing all these years, but I really still don't understand it. You don't understand it because you're not ministering in it. If you will minister in it, you will grow and you will know. Verse 25, but he looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. Which one will be blessed in what he does? The one who does. Don't be just a hearer. After this morning, I hope that you are inspired. If you have been a hearer up to this point and not a doer, I hope that you get inspired today to become a doer, because that's when you're going to grow. And when you grow, guess what happens? God's kingdom grows. Why? Because you're going to share God's love with somebody else. And guess what? God's love is powerful and true. And when you share it with somebody else, they have to respond. Just like this gentleman I mentioned a few minutes ago. Good thing nobody's sitting up front. I'm spitting all over the place today. Just like this guy I mentioned a minute ago, he was given an opportunity. He has to respond to the gospel that he heard. Everybody you share the gospel with, they have to respond. Once you tell somebody, hey, Jesus was born of a virgin, he lived a sinless life, and he died on the cross for you and me, because the Bible says that we are sinners. We were born that way, but it says that we have to die. The wages of sin is death, but Jesus loved us so much that he came and he died for us. He took our sin upon himself and died for us. And the Bible says that if we will put our faith in him, if we will just believe in him, that we too can be saved. What's that mean? It means that we don't have to die for our sins because Jesus already did. We get eternal life. John chapter 3, verse 16. If that's the only verse that you ever memorize, memorize it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When you share that with somebody and you say, you get to choose whether you want to believe in Jesus or not. Once they hear those words, now it's on them. Now they have a choice to make. And everybody is going to respond one way or another. But a good bunch of them are going to say, yeah, I want that. And guess what happens? The kingdom of God grows. And you grow. And the more you share that, I'm embarrassed to tell you, when I was the first pastor, when I first started pastoring here, for me to just spit all that out, I would have had to have notes and all that. And just in all honesty. I knew I was saved. I knew what it was about. But to be able to articulate it in words and communicate it, that takes experience. That takes a little practice. Be a doer of the word. Be a minister of the gospel. And you will grow and God's kingdom will grow. Anybody want to see the rest of these church filled up? Yeah. Well, tell somebody. You tell somebody about Jesus. And tell somebody else. And tell somebody else. And you know what? Some of those are going to take hold of it. And then they're going to start telling people. And then they're going to start. And it grows. That's how it works. Last verse, going back to Jesus at the well. Jesus said to them, my food, or my meat, depending on which translation you have, that which gives me fulfillment, that which gives me spiritual growth, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Jesus understood. He had a purpose. And he got fulfillment when he did that purpose, which is to do the will of God, his Father. Stand with me this morning, if you would. And we're going to pray. And I'm going to open the altar just for a moment. I titled this message, Let's Get Growing. We all, there isn't anybody here whose growth should be stunted. Because God wants every single one of us to grow. And if we will do what he's called us to do, if we will do his will, as Jesus stated there, I want to do his will and finish his work. If we will do that, we will certainly grow. If you're standing here this morning thinking, you know what, I've come so long in my spiritual life, there can't be more. Let me tell you, there's more. How do I know there's more? Well, there's a story in the Bible that says that they laid people out on the street so that when Peter walked by, his shadow would heal them. Is your shadow healing anybody? If not, that tells me there's room for growth, right? There's more. If you're thinking that, you know what, God won't use me. God knows who I am. He knows what I've done, and there's no way he will use me. That's a lie from the devil, because he will use you. If you got sin in your life, then repent of that sin in your life. And draw close to Jesus. The Bible says that if we will confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to purify us from all unrighteousness. He will take care of it. So don't let anything in your life stop you from coming to God and growing in God. Yes, dear. Please. Hold on. Wait. I want people to hear it because... Oh, yes. Thank you. Come right up here. Both of you. Hallelujah. For those who don't know, she's pregnant. Hallelujah.
So one thing that happens to a lot of us when we try to share the gospel with the world is that they throw a lot of things back at us. Mm. And there is that whole trend that has existed for decades of opposing science to faith. The things you can see and prove versus faith, which is in essence believing in the things that are yet to come. And there is a great scientist, probably one of the greatest of all times, happens to be French, Louis Pasteur, who pretty much invented antibiotics, proved the existence of yeast, turning grape juice into wine. That's of great interest to us, of course. I mean, a really brilliant, savant man once said,